y'all. This is Ivana Walker with Ivana's Thoughts, and today we will continue our Young Entrepreneur series. Today I have very special guests. Go ahead and introduce yourselves, guys.
So I'm Brianna Larkins with BitArt Technology, the Chief Executive Officer.
Hey, and I'm Andrew Larkins, one of the co-founders of BitArt Technology, and I serve as the Chief Technology Officer.
All right, can you tell them where they can find you? What's your email, whatever, website, and things like that?
So our website is www.bitlarktech, that's TECH.com. You can find us, you can send us an email at bitlarktech, TEC@gmail.com. And all of our social media handles are bitlarktech, that's BitLarktech. So find us on Facebook as well as Instagram and YouTube in a few days.
Awesome. All right. So we are going to start off with your business story. So what is BitLark Technology?
So it's funny you ask, because we get that a lot. So BitLark Technology is a managed service provider and computer repair company. So we remotely manage residential and business user systems on a proactive basis. So from virus protection to monitoring your devices to just general cleanup, that's pretty much what we do. We also do deployment services. So if a school or someone has a lot of PCs that they need to deploy, need to be deployed to students and so forth, we'll come out, we'll image them up, and we'll deploy them. So we'd like to consider ourselves an all-inclusive technology services company.
So this is something that everyone can use, right?
Yes, everyone. So residential as well as business. Since the pandemic, we've had a lot of remote support. You know, students work from home, parents at home really have a lot of issues that they can't get resolved by their local tech support or, you know, calling the 1-800 number. So they call us and, you know, we can get them fixed right up. It's funny because we just had a student who broke his computer screen and he couldn't work. So his aunt was our real estate agent. So she sent his computer down, we fixed it up and sent it back to him. So we're 100% remote right now, but we do have options to assist users out there who have issues and awesome. Can't get to a store, can't leave their home.
That's cool. So talk a little bit about how the name came about to your, of like BitLark Technology. How did that come about?
So Larkins is my last name, and Lark is just, it's just something that one of our football coaches called me Lark. So that name just kind of stuck. And the bit, if you don't know what a computer bit is, it's a 1 and a 0. So it kind of sticks with the name, you know, bit. We're a technology company, so bit, 1, 0, and then Lark. So we found a way to integrate our name and technology into one.
Now, how did the idea for your business came about?
So it actually started in 2018. I was just working and I was thinking about how I can provide the same services to the community and also give knowledge. So not only just fix their issues, but actually teach them what the issue is and how to resolve it and do it at an affordable price. So my background is IT. I work in IT for the past 10, 12 years. So like I said, just one day on the job, just working, I was like, man, I think I can do this for someone else. So just got the idea that I just needed to provide the same services that I'm doing on the job that I can provide them, to our community and at an affordable price, of course.
And that is great because again, since everybody can use it, affordability is a big thing, especially right now in the pandemic. What is the key driving force to become an entrepreneur? Like what was something that was really big for you guys to do this?
I would say generational wealth. During the pandemic as well, you see companies laying off employees and just the corporate dependency. So we just wanted to, you know, create and establish something of our own and also have something to build and pass down to our children.
And that's very important, a very important thing to do. I recently did an episode on generational wealth, and that's one of the things that I'm super passionate about because, of course, as your family's growing, coming from, you know, families that don't really have much, it's really important to be able to give things that you don't have to your children, right, and to their children, and provide opportunities for your children's children as well. Now, starting off, what were your goals for your business, and like, have they changed at all?
I think our goals align with our mission. Our mission is to provide quality services at an affordable price, and, you know, to support domestic, small and large businesses with our technology services. So that still remains like our number one goal, is making sure that we provide quality services at an affordable price. And I would say, go along the lines of saying that, you know, just our goal is to give as much knowledge and information to our community as possible. And not necessarily that that's going to always generate income, but we, at the same time, we always want to, you know, cultivate an environment of knowledge sharing. So that's pretty much our goal, you know, quality services at an affordable price, and just to provide the best services that we can, and also give them information so they can take in, whether it's on the job or at home, and just take that knowledge and use it elsewhere.
Good. Now, what was your entrepreneurial process in creating BitLark Technology? So like, a lot of people have this idea, right? It's just, you have an idea, I want to start a business. Now, to turn it into a real business, how were you guys able to do that? So like, once you had that idea in your head, what was your next move?
I'm a pen and paper type person. I like to write everything down. So there were months of just writing down different ideas or things that we've talked about, going to the whiteboard. And pretty much one day we just had to come to a conclusion, like, this is what we're going to do, and come up with a date that, because it's like you continuously talk about it, but you're not moving forward and doing the things that you need to do to launch the business. So we just had to come up with a date that we wanted to launch. Like, okay, this is the day that we're aiming for. And that kind of just made us kind of just do things, like write things down and actually put a plan in place and execute the things that we wanted to do. Mm-hmm. So it was mainly just pen and paper.
Yeah, she's not giving herself enough credit. I'm a big procrastinator. So she's a more visual person. She writes everything down in her notebook. So we literally took everything that she composed. We sat in the office one day. We just put everything on a whiteboard, from prices to the services we want to offer to training sessions and things. And we also forecast of things that we want to come later on down the line. So the whiteboard is the best thing ever as far as a tool that you can use
now
during your process.
Did you guys do any like specific research or anything to kind of put this in place?
Yeah. So being a technology company, we're going to have to utilize tools. So remote support tools, chat tools, you know, just a lot of tools that we really going to have to use for proactive client management. So she will tell you, she get emails all the time from me just doing different trials. Trying out different software to see how I can improve our customer experience. So we really did a lot of research on different vendors. So even from Microsoft, Google, you know, vetting out between Word and Google Sheets and all the other services that they both provide, and see how we can get the most advantageous pricing for each one, and see how they can improve our customer experience. So we did a lot of vetting out, a lot of trials. So yeah, it was a tedious process to get that done.
Now, do you feel like that there's still more that you guys can do to improve, or like, is this one of the stages where you feel content with where everything
there
is?
There's a lot that we can do to improve. And we were actually just talking about like managing your social media, like creating content is the most time consuming thing, but also the most helpful too that you can do for your business, just because social media is used for marketing now. Mm-hmm. Like, you have to pretty much put yourself out there, continuously engaging with your clients and potential clients and stuff like that. So we definitely have to sit down and create more content for social media, create more content for social media. Yeah. It's just like working on our marketing section of the business, just creating content for social media.
Yeah, and on the other hand, apart from the social media aspect, we have to stay in tune with technology. Technology changes every day. So if you follow our page on Instagram or Facebook, BitLark Tech, you'll see new tech news and you will see tech tips. So those change as technology changes. So I may put out something about how to reset your PC. Well, a year from now, we may have to do another one. We may have to edit that one and have a new post of how to reset your PC because technology is changing every day. Hackers are getting more sophisticated. So we have to make sure that the technology we're using stays up to date and that we're in line with all the new features that comes out. So social media and also the tools that we use and just technology in its whole is always changing. So we have to stay up on game on everything that's changing.
Good. Now, I've known you guys for a really long time, and I remember whenever you guys first started, it wasn't this, right? It isn't what it was this year. And you guys decided to relaunch. Can you take us through that relaunch process? Like, what all went into making that decision? Because I tell you, you guys did an amazing job with relaunching everything. It was great to see such a beautiful turnaround, you know? So I just want just kind of talk a little bit about that. What was that process like?
I'll start. So I really needed the motivation from Brianna to just get out there and do it. We've been talking about it for a while, you know. She always said to me that you're good at it. You really need to do it. You know, I'll help you through this process. You know, whatever we need to do to get this thing up and running. So she was a instrumental part of the relaunch. And, you know, then we went through the process of getting photos, you know, new logos and just rebranding our entire business model per se and just moving forward with it. But I say that the biggest motivator was her just telling me that, you know, we need to do it. You have the knowledge, just get out and do it.
Yeah, because it was something that he launched back in 2018. And then once we relocated, it was something that kind of just died down. Mm-hmm. And I've always told him that if you can provide a service to people, that you're not out here having to buy a ton of inventory for other things that people may do. Like if we can provide a service from our home and it's something that we're able to do while working, you know, full time, then mm-hmm. let's do it. And so it was just a matter of picking back up from, you know, the things that he had already started, and he had a lot of the vendor information and all of that stuff. So it was just kind of refreshing all that stuff. And, you know, like he said, getting a new logo and kind of rebranding the thing and making it more ours, like a business for us together.
That's long term.
Right.
Do you feel like your business is successful at this point? And how, I guess, when did you feel that?
I feel like it is successful for us to have lunch not too long ago. Mm-hmm. I feel like we're doing good. We know that it's a process and you have to have patience. So we don't expect any success or anything to come overnight. So we are, you know, happy about where things are. Of course, we can still make improvements and do things differently and better, but we're good with where we are. But of course, you know, there's some work that still can be done.
As for any business, of course.
Right.
Yeah. And so how did you guys go about like building the clientele? I know you guys talked a little bit about social media, but was there anything else that played a part in that?
I say word of mouth as well as social media, and our customer base is really built because we have, you know, we provide transparency. Mm-hmm. And like I say, we cultivate an environment of knowledge sharing. So we give out knowledge. We're not expecting anything in return, and people are very receptive to it. So our main following is pretty much on social media and word of mouth. You know, once your auntie or uncle finds out that you can work on a computer or you work in IT, you're fixing phones, computers, cars, and TVs and everything else. So, you know, word of mouth goes a long way as well as social media. But since we're in this almost 100% remote environment, social media has been the biggest platform for us to really drive our business and, you know, get our customer base.
And people also like to get an insight of your personal life. So even though it may be business, like just allowing people to see your like authentic self, you know what I'm saying? So we make it on social media and go live or just post pictures of us and the family and stuff like that. And I think that kind of also brings in some of the crowd or attention.
Thank you.
So, I would just say social media, pretty much social media.
I know you guys talked a little bit about marketing. Can you go deeper into that? Like just a little bit more like what are your goals for marketing? I guess once the world opens back up, since it's, you know, going to be a little bit different.
I would definitely say attending some networking events that Atlanta has to offer. I feel like it is a city for young people to thrive and people to also network with people. So maybe just right now using social media to get ourselves out there and get the information out there. Hashtags. I did a ton of research on hashtags. And people may not realize the importance of hashtags, but I spend a lot of time researching hashtags that may be specific to a post that we may have, or just a general post that we may post for the business. And I feel like that also has brought attention to our social media. So just maybe trying to get ourselves in the right areas or in the right place and with the right group of people. So, you know, I hope that soon everything does go back to normal where we're able to attend networking events so that we're able to, you know, just put more of a face and a personality with the business versus everything just being through social media.
And I think we'll also, once everything opens back up, we'll expand our home in-home services for the area that we serve. That way we won't, you know, there's so many different restrictions nowadays, and so many, we have a lot of elderly clients too that ne don't necessarily want you in their home. So once we are pushing our marketing campaign, that we're starting back providing those services for in-home as well.
So it's funny that you said something about hashtags because I also use social media for promotion and stuff like that for the podcast. And I recently like read that the algorithm for Instagram has like changed and like now people like saving certain posts and things like that is what counts. And then like if people comment less than 4 words, it doesn't count as interaction. It's crazy. It really is. It's really crazy. So like I
It
think
is like
that's
another, yeah, it's definitely, it's another thing in itself. Like you can have the business, but the marketing is another thing itself. Like those hashtags and certain times that you should post during the day on Facebook, or certain time of the day that you should post on Instagram. Like that is a completely different ball game.
Yeah.
So hopefully one day we're able to outsource that.
Yeah, kind of get the hang of it a little bit better.
I'm the sticky nerdy guy, so social media is like, eh, I'll do all the handiwork, but social
The
media
is not
is
your
there.
thing. What challenges did you guys face in building your customer base and marketing your business, if any?
What I have learned is people have to see your post at least 4 times before they decide to move forward with using you or, you know, booking a service. So it's like we continuously get on there and we post, and sometimes you don't get the interaction that you would like or the engagement from different posts and stuff. And it's just like having to understand that that does not, like, people engaging doesn't necessarily mean that you will or will not get that business. So I would just say customer engagement, that is probably
one of the bigger challenges.
Yeah. One of the challenges, like, just feel like you're just posting for no reason, but people see it, but they may not react to it.
I get it.
I would think that. What about you?
Yeah, I would agree. You know, I think that you have to keep them engaged. They're always looking for something that's going to grab their attention. So continuously posting, maybe the content is not for them. Maybe that's not the audience that we're looking for. But I think, yeah, I would agree. Social media engagement is probably one of the biggest challenges.
Well, if you, obviously we all follow content creators and stuff like that on Instagram and on Facebook. And something that I have noticed is the more that you post, the more likely you'll have more people to see that stuff, right? So I think you guys have done a great job at doing that, posting often. And like the tech tips, that has helped me. That has helped my coworkers. So that's something that I think that you guys have really done really well at. We're going to go into more like a personal questions and stuff. So like, how many hours a day do you guys work on average, or a week, however you guys want to?
Me personally, I would say about 60 hours a week from the business to working on some certifications and my master's, and also working on the business and another something else. So I would say about 60, 65 hours a week.
And this is, I am going to say this because I think this is, that's crazy, because this isn't the only thing you guys do. Like, you guys have jobs outside of BitLark Technology. Right. So like, again, this is 60 hours a week on just like BitLark stuff and getting certifications and stuff like that, right?
Yep.
So that's on top of work.
So. Yeah, because work is what, about however many hours a week that we really dedicate to it. And then we try to dedicate a lot of our time to BitLark, because that goes back to what we said earlier about corporate dependency. We don't want to really rely on fund our life forever.
I have to tell Andrew all the time, he used to be so bad about devoting so much of his time to an organization or work, and then, you know, you get off and then you're literally drained and you don't have the time and energy to devote to your own things. So I feel like, you know, that was a thing, and I think it's more challenging now because he works from home. So it's like, is no separation, and I'm able to separate my work life and home life, like, because I'm still in the office. So once I leave work, work is left at work, and it's just me devoting time to helping create content and, you know, doing research on hashtags and stuff like that.
Yeah, I think that's something that a lot of people struggle with. So I'm glad you guys, you know, said something about it, because many people really, especially now in the world where, like you said before, a lot of people's remote, working remote. So it's hard to be home and know when to stop work. Right? So we can kind of go into this. How has entrepreneurship affected like family life? In negative, positive, whatever way.
Honestly, I wouldn't say that it has really affected anything. We're pretty good about including the kids on things that we do. So whether that's taking pictures in the BitLark Technology shirts or including them in any giveaways that we may have, we always try to incorporate them in the things that we do for the business. And they enjoy it. You know, of course, they're not having to do the legwork, so they enjoy the pictures and the videos and stuff like that. So it may just be as simple as sitting on the couch and you can be watching a TV show, but also creating content on Canva while you're doing those things. So I wouldn't say it has really taken away any time from the kids. I wouldn't say. Would you think?
No, and they look forward to being like incorporated. it goes back to I had about six devices that I needed to set up for one of our customers, and we had to rebuild all of them. So we all made USB drives. I showed them how to make USB drives and plug it in and hit F12 and boot and, you know, just wipe it and start all over again. So they really enjoyed that, and they really got something from it. Now, my son Mari, he can set up his face sign in. He can set up the Hello sign in, fingerprint, and everything else. So he's really learning a lot from us. So they really like to be incorporated into everything we do with the business.
So entrepreneurship actually it's affected you guys positively, right? Because kids are gonna do what they see, and the whole purpose of that, especially like we said before about building generational wealth, is to make sure that your kids are seeing what you're doing for their future. So that's awesome that they get to be a part of something. So, and they're so young, you know. Right. So they see you guys striving. So this makes it all the better whenever they see that they can do the same. Yeah. Now, how do you generate new ideas? I know you said like it could be as easy as like, you know, they're just sitting on the couch watching TV and a video can just create content, right? So how do you guys generate those ideas, whether it's for promotion or for the business?
Honestly, when we started with the pen and paper, we had a lot of things that we wanted to do. As far as trainings we want to offer people, YouTube videos. So right now I feel like we're just kind of working on the list of things we already have in mind to do. Mm-hmm. So we haven't really sat down, and we actually plan to do this next week to sit down and figure out, you know, what else or what more we can do. But I think it's just kind of focusing on what we already have written down, the goals that we want to accomplish for the business within the next couple of months. So, you know, I would just say focusing on the things that we have already discussed. As far as creating content, I would say AJ has that creativity. So
that I enjoy it though.
It may be, I would say the holidays has helped, because we may try to do things for the holiday. He just had a birthday. Aubrey just had a birthday, so we decided to do a giveaway in November just because it was her birthday. So just maybe different things that may be coming up, or maybe ideas that we see on social media.
Mm-hmm. Now, yeah, go ahead.
A lot of my inspiration comes with technology changes too. Of course, I said abreast on all the blogs and all the changes, so those different things help me generate ideas and push that information out as well.
And well, what aspect of being an entrepreneur is your favorite?
I think right now it's just the beginning part of just trying to figure out everything. I can't say I have a favorite at the moment.
I think my favorite is the fact that it's ours. It's up to us of where we want to go with the business, and our only limitation is us. So I think my favorite part about it is that we own it, we control it, we dictate our future.
And that's everything. That is so good.
I would agree with that.
Yeah. And like I said, that's beautiful. I love that. Like this, the purpose of doing this series was for me to like introduce my audience to people who are doing really great things and doing it well. And you guys, I think, are doing it very well. So that's beautiful.
Thank you so much.
How do you, well, you know what? No. What is your biggest fear, and how do you manage that fear about your business? So like, what is, if you have any at all?
AJ.
What's my fear?
I would say AJ has really high expectations for, and we both have high expectations, but I have a better, I'm more patient.
You're a realist?
I'm more of a realist. Like, I'm patient with the process. Like, my expectation is not for us to launch this business and be millionaires tomorrow. But sometimes I would say that AJ, me, just my opinion, I think his fear is maybe failure of the business.
Mm-hmm.
And I just try to, you know, let him know that at the end of the day, like he said, it's ours, and you know what, we get what we put in. So we have to make sure that we are doing what we can do and coming up with new content and new ideas so that we're able to take our business to the next level. But at the same time, I don't really expect things to like happen overnight.
Yeah.
Would you agree?
Yeah, I'd agree. I agree that, you know, not every success story is going to be your success story. So I have learned the art of patience. As much as I'm impatient, I've learned the art of patience. So I know things aren't going to come overnight. But like she said, my biggest fear would probably be the business not being as successful as I want it to be in the time that I want it to, you know, achieve success. So, yeah, I think that's probably my biggest fear, but it's slowly diminishing. So,
so it's like time, like one of the things that kind of hold you to, I know she said you have like high expectations, and is it just time that's kind of like getting in, you know, kind of getting in your head, like I have to do it at this time or there's nothing else? Or
yeah, well, you know, I set goals in my head. It's like, okay, in 6 months we need to be generating this amount of revenue. If we're not, then the business is not meeting my level of succession, you know, it's not mm-hmm. succeeding at all. So we're not at this part where we're monetizing from YouTube or monetizing from Instagram by 6 or 7 months, and I feel like the business is not meeting my level of success. So, but like I say, I have to learn the art of patience, and I'm continuing to learn it. So those are things that, you know, I think any business owner is gonna, you know, have that challenge. You know, is it coming fast enough? Or, you know, they look at someone else's page and they say, oh, they got 1.1 million followers but no engagement or something like that. And we can't do our comparison like that because we never, like I said,
you don't their know success where people
story.
Started.
Yeah, their right. success story won't be our success story. So it'll probably take time to get where we want to be.
Comparison is the thief of joy. Okay, yes. There's no need to compare when this, again, this is yours, right? Everyone right. who starts a business is there. So when you start comparing, that's, I think, when things kind of go, you know, fade a little bit, put that little, right. gets a little foggy. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, you always want to have those look back moments like, oh, look where we started. Now look where we are. And then right. you say, look how long it took us to get here. Now we're this. So,
and
they are humbling moment.
Right. And you guys are young and got all the time in the world. So, you know. Yeah. Who or what is your biggest inspiration?
My inspiration would probably be my wife and kids.
Ooh, yes.
You know, because I look at, like, goes back to what we talked about earlier, generational wealth. I want to build something for them, something that they can fall back on and, you know, be able to move how we want to move without any restrictions, you know, just everyone being happy. And, you know, when I look at them and see where we are now, it just motivates me to continue to, you know, push and thrive and, you know, take the business to new heights.
How about you, Brianna?
I would say definitely the children. I mean, not that it's not Andrew, but...
Oh, it's okay. I don't have to be an inspiration. Thank you.
No, but, you know, you do have, you know, children who look up to you and, you know, they've been with us on this journey from the beginning. Especially Mari, he has been with us since the beginning of time, you know, so just to see where we came from when we were, you know, just, you know, became parents and to where we are now, it's just being able to provide those things for your children. And, you know, you want your children to see you as your parents who worked hard for the things that they have. And, you know, you want them to have that same mindset that nothing in life is just given to you. So I would say the children, Definitely.
And not me.
And Andrew.
Oh, oh no.
Right. I scratch the entire podcast and delete it.
But I would say, I would think that you would say that from your perspective as a man who is a provider.
Yeah, yeah. We need to do another podcast so we can go with umbrella, where the man fits on the umbrella and the kids and the wife. So
stay tuned. We definitely do. Stay tuned, guys. It's coming. It is coming. You guys both answered very, very well. I love that. I love that, because I think it should be, especially when you have a family, it should be your family, right?
Right.
What piece of advice would you give someone who is trying to start their own business, or because you have experienced this already, relaunch their business?
Do your research. Research. Don't let anybody else's timing force you to just jump out there. I would say if you're going to do it, do it the right way. Research, take your time to research things, whether that's vendors, your audience, and the time and effort and patience that comes into running a business. But definitely go for it. Like, it's your business. Again, nobody tell you how to run or operate your business but you. So, you know, go for it.
My piece of advice is because it's from my personal experience. Never become complacent with the environment that you're in.
Oh my gosh.
A lot
gosh,
of us
yes.
get too comfortable. You know, my first job, they promoted me pretty quick, and you know, they offered me a lot of money, which really wasn't a lot of money. So just don't get complacent and never conform to, I guess, whatever the society norms are, no matter what demographic or background you come from. Just don't limit yourself to what you're currently experiencing, and you know, just go above and beyond and just do it and do your research.
You know what I found, this being the second episode, that is one of the things that's the same thing Rodrika said. She said research is like one of the biggest things, so it's nice to hear that is a, you know, very common
thing. It's definitely vital to do your research, because the last thing you want to do is put your business out there for social media to see, and then you don't have all your ducks in a row. Mm-hmm. And I mean, it does happen, and that's okay if it does, but if we could give you any advice before you launch or whatever it may be, conduct your research.
Yeah. Well, this was great. I appreciate you guys coming on here, taking time to come on here and, you know, just doing this, because I think this is amazing for people to see our people, right. You know, being successful and like doing this young and really just flourishing. It's like I said, it's so beautiful to see that. And you guys inspire me, so why not have you guys on here to inspire others?
Well, thank you.
Yeah, so welcome. I love you guys. So let's close this out with who you guys are, where they can find you, and what upcoming things you guys have going on.
Why are you pointing at me?
Oh, well, once again, I'm Andrew Larkins. This is Brianna Larkins. You can find us on Facebook and Instagram at BitLarkTech. You can email us at BitLarkTech@gmail.com. And please stay tuned on YouTube and all of our social media. We'll be posting training sessions, or getting some feedback on training sessions, things that people want to see. We'll also be posting some how-to videos on YouTube, because those have been pretty helpful to go along with our tech tips.
Awesome. Well, guys, Ivana Walker, please make sure to follow the podcast, subscribe, rate it, all that good stuff. Bye.